إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, I want to remind myself anew of the importance of adab in the business of learning deen. We seem to be under some kind of misconception that learning means to understand some words. But learning is not understanding words, learning is not knowing just the meaning of the words, but learning is to understand those words to the innermost parts of our being and to make those words of the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a part of our life and something that we live with, and we see the benefit of that in our lives. And for that, the single first and most important requirement is that of adab, is that of respect for the word of Allah and for the teaching of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hujurat, in the first three ayat, or the first two ayat, the third ayat is an ayat of bashara for those who accept the importance of adab, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly and specifically mentioned, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yaday illahi wa rasulihi wa attaqullah inna allaha shadidul iqab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, do not put yourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and fear Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe in punishment. And then He said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. He said, O you who believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know from the meanings of these ayats and from the explanation of these ayats that this does not merely refer to the actual raising of the voice, which means in terms of volumes or the number of decibels. It was that also at the time of Rasulullah. But putting yourself before the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or raising your voice above the voice of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, refers to bringing your own desires and bringing your own ideas and bringing your own interpretations and so on and so forth to supersede the rulings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when a hadith comes before us, that instead of accepting this hadith and saying sami'na wa ata'na, we use our own interpretations and our own explanations of that, and we twist and turn it either to deny its importance or to deny the hadith itself, or to twist it to suit whatever desire that we have. Yeah. So for example, if you are dealing in interest and then you bring one hadith from somewhere and you say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also borrowed some money from somebody, and that this person he borrowed from was not a Muslim, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also paid him some interest. Yeah, quite forgetting when and what and in what context and so on and so forth. But we don't want to see all that because you want to justify what you are doing. Or for example, the hadith which relate to our way of being and so on. How to eat, how to sit, how to dress. And then we bring our own desires into play there and we deny the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See the behavior of those who learned the deen from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly. When Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu went to take the keys of Jerusalem, when Jerusalem surrendered and the Christian and Jewish priests were there, who were the rulers of the city, they said, we will give the key to the Khalifa. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu went from Medina all the way to Jerusalem with one servant. That is all. Just the two of them, and they walked from Medina to Jerusalem. Go look at the map and see the distance. And when they reached Jerusalem, I'm shortening the story, it's a very beautiful story. Sometime we have the time, inshallah, we'll talk about that. But just to explain to you the issue of the importance of the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they reached there and so on, and he got the keys were handed to him. And that day, there was a banquet for all the people, so the leaders of the city of Jerusalem plus the Muslims who had opened the city. And during that meal, while they were eating, some particles of food dropped onto the tablecloth, onto the dastakhan. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu picked it up and he ate it. And the person sitting next to him, Allah alam, I think it was Ubaidullah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he nudged him and he said, "Don't do that. It is not considered good manners. It is not considered sophisticated in this place." And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu thumped him on his hand and he said to him that you want me to give up the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of which we were granted this conquest and instead adopt the ways of the people who lost. You want me to give up the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the barakah of which, that doesn't mean the barakah of this one sunnah, it means the barakah of following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of life. He says the barakah of that sunnah, of following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is what gave us victory in this case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors of Jerusalem for us because we were people who followed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you want me to give up that and adopt the ways of the people who lost? What logic is this? The people who learnt the deen at the feet of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they understood the importance of the sunnah. So I remind myself and you, let us make sure that we do not deliberately break any sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah is the fabric of this deen. It is the cloth of which this deen is made. If you remove the sunnah, there is no deen. If you remove the sunnah, there is no deen. The seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the tafsir of the Quran in action. If you remove the seerah, then you cannot understand the Quran. It's not possible. They are completely intertwined. The sunnah and the seerah and the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the reason why it's very important for us to remember to follow every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course we are weak and we may not know some sunnah and we may not be able to follow some sunnah. We ask Allah to forgive us for that. But at least don't open your mouth with regard to the sunnah. What you can do, you do. What you cannot do, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you because you cannot do that. Inshallah, we ask Allah to forgive us. But don't open your mouth and don't use your tongue out of context. Don't say that is not important and there is no need for it and this and that. And if somebody else is doing it, you discourage them. Do not fall into that trap. That is clear from shaitan. If I cannot do something, that is my weakness, wallah alam. But don't raise your voice over the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he said that something is good, then that thing is good. Khalas. There is no argument in that. If I can follow it, alhamdulillah. If I cannot follow it, astaghfirullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me. But do not ever speak against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is a very, very big problem because people, not only do they not follow the sunnah, but they also think it is important for them to speak against the sunnah. That is absolute nonsense and that is something which is hugely, hugely, I think we should be very, very careful and don't fall into that trap. Jo kar sakte karo, jo nahi kar sakte, Allah se maghfirat mango aur uske baad mein zaban daraz mat karo. Uske khilaf baat mat karo. Allah ke nabi ki sunnat hai, aap kya jante ho, kya achha hai, kya bura hai. So be very, very clear with regard to this and let us remember the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he said, Wattaqullah, inna Allah shadidul iqab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fear Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment is very severe. And in the second ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you do not do this, then tahbata amalukum, your amal will be wiped out, and you will not even know this. We certainly don't want to be in that situation where after doing whatever we do, first of all, our amal, we know what our amal are. If without the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't think at least in my life there is a single amal that will stand on its own. Not even one. May Allah forgive me for that. But without the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is not one single amal which will stand on its own. And for each of us, we have to do our own assessments. And if even that is wiped out, then what do we have before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have nothing. So let us not do that. Defend the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, to defend the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this time is like defending the person of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhi wa sallam. Defend the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if you are not following the sunnah, defend the sunnah. And if somebody says, no, but you are saying to someone else and you are not doing it, you say, well, I am weak, I will try, inshallah, make dua, but I will not say that this person who is following the sunnah is wrong. He is not wrong, he is right. I am the one who is wrong. Defend the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as the Sahaba used to defend the person of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is there a single incident where somebody attacked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and there were Sahaba there and they moved aside and they allowed the attack to go through? Can you find me one incident like this? Never. Absolutely never. In the Battle of Uhud, what did the Sahaba do? They shielded Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with their own bodies. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, they shielded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with their own bodies. Somebody has written about it. They said that Abu Talha's arm was like a pincushion. He had so many arrows in his arm. Is there a single instance of somebody moving aside and letting the arrow or the sword blow or something go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Not once. And today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for us. We are not talking about sword blows and arrows and bullets. We are talking about just keeping our mouth shut. And if we have some guts to open our mouths in support of and in favor of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if you have no guts, doesn't matter, keep your mouth shut. Leave the place. But don't open your mouths against the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because that would be tantamount to moving aside and letting the blow go through to the person of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How accursed and how miserable and horrible would be that person who allowed that to happen. And to speak against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam today, or to allow somebody else who is speaking against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go unchallenged is tantamount to that. So let us not fall into that trap. Let us remember the ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned this business of obeying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without question and not raising our voices, not expressing our opinions contrary to and in opposition to and over and above the opinion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us remember that. Let us remember the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised on those who fail to follow this principle of adab and the principle of manners with regard to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the evil of these ways, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the benefit and the noor and the blessing of the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.